lots with six trees.
You've made a good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for your testimony. I appreciate it.
You. Sir?
Hi, I'm Jim Wentworth-Plato. I participated as the professional arborist in the stakeholder discussion group. I'm a board-certified master arborist and a certified tree risk assessor working in Portland for the last 15 years. I think you should approve and adopt the Chapter 11 Trees Code because it has all that paperwork that he brought forth. Actually, only about 20% of that is the new chapter. Most of it is all the discussion we had over the course of the year. it'll be consolidating all the code, all the current chapters. The manual will address your earlier concern, Mr. Leonard, about, let's see. About making it easier for citizens to access. With the 24/7 contact person, that's a good idea. But while I applaud the work done to refine these codes, removal for 12 inches is much too large. 8 inches is a much better idea. Replanting currently has to be done within 30 days. And if you could extend that into the wet season, that's a great idea. And I support the concept of infill, but not the current incarnation. We're witnessing a shrinking and decline of our urban forest on these small lot sizes because we just don't have the room for trees.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you, gentlemen.
Craig Chisholm, Margot Barnett, Wayne Person.
Go ahead and come on up. Yeah.
Did you call a third?
Yep.
And Marianne Casson.
Marianne. All right. Who else? Yep. Third.
I think it seems that that's it.
All right. Thanks for being here. Please begin.
Hi, I'm Margot Barnett. I'm a Southwest Portland.
Margaret, move your mic down just a little bit so
okay.
I can hear you.
Thanks. Is that better? Okay. I'm Margot Barnett. I'm a Southwest Portland resident. And as you know, I've been involved in urging the city to revise the tree code for a good number of years, since 2005, researching and co-authoring the report Tree Protection and Preservation in Portland, a call for reforms, while a member of the Sweeney Tree Committee. And I've continued to participate in discussions of urban forestry policy in the city through service on the Urban Forestry Commission, as well as serving on the stakeholder working group for the CY Tree Project. I'm very pleased with the fact that the proposal that we're currently looking at includes many of the changes that were requested years ago by the Sweeney Tree Committee, including the consolidation of tree codes in one place, creating a single point of contact, a hotline number for weekend tree cutting concerns, providing a way to monitor tree plans, permits, and violations within the city data system, and creating a code that is consistent and implements policy more equitably across property types, as well as development of the tree manual. The elements of consolidating code, eliminating loopholes, education and enforcement are all critical pieces. As you've heard, it's really important for us to have inspectors who are trained and understand that how ecosystem services really work. They are an important part of infrastructure and need to be treated that way as part of the evaluation process. And there were just a couple of things that I think haven't been touched on by others that I wanted to hit real quickly. One is an element that isn't in the code that was mentioned at least by one individual that needs to be looked at some point is addressing the cost of repairing damage to sidewalks from tree roots. If we're investing in this trees as infrastructure, we also have to look at the other side of it and find ways to really work with property owners on that and find a way to partner in terms of sharing costs or providing mechanisms for low-income homeowners to finance those repairs. It's part of this whole process. And the other thing I just want to urge you on is the fact that, you know, people have already talked about the process, and this has been a very long process. And throughout the process in developing the code, there's been a real balancing act between the different needs and trying to find solutions that allow flexibility. Flexibility also ends up increasing complexity. And keep in mind that if you start looking at other amendments, that some of the code that's in there were created by agreements and people giving up on certain things and a lot of compromises over time. And so I just want you to be aware of that as you start to look at additional amendments. This has been a very long but very good cooperative process. I urge you to really adopt and fund this proposal and move it forward. And I will be looking at amendments and providing additional written comment as we move this process forward.
Margot, as co-author of the initial report with Greg Shifty, I also have to thank you very much for your pushing this through the process and your following it through and now continuing to do so. Thank you.
Thanks. Sir?
My name is Wayne Pearson, and I'm in the southwest area of Portland. I'm a homeowner, and I think I'm maybe a fish out of water here today because of the discussions that have gone ahead of me tonight. But I'm really upset with the city of Portland because of the tree policy. It may be in the past, but I don't see any changes in the future. I had requested a permit to cut trees on my property, and they were a danger. It wasn't because I wanted to put a different color tree there. And I had three arborists that told me that I was correct, that I should take them down. I had every right to take them down because of the danger that was being presented. And I was refused to be allowed to do that. I was refused a permit. And I would like to ask you to consider really opening up the consideration as far as sensitivity and flexibility in allowing homeowners to cut their own trees when it's appropriate. The nine trees that I'm talking about were Douglas firs that are 150 feet high, and they are close to my home. One of the big, large branches during a storm went through my master bedroom, through the roof, I should say, through the ceiling. Another one went at a different time, went through my garage window. Another one landed when I was standing outside with my granddaughter in a cloudless day, blue sky, no wind. Branch fell. I heard something. I took a couple steps back, not knowing where to go, and it landed less than 10 feet from me, holding my granddaughter. I don't think the individual from the city of Portland had any sensitivity of what I was trying to request. The arborist said that my location for my property, as far as the wind coming from the storms, and there was nobody else, no other neighbors that have trees to block these, the ferocity of these, those wind speed. I think this is inappropriate. And I'd like to still do that, but I don't see why we cannot allow homeowners to protect themselves. I also am very much in favor of planting trees. I would doubt there are any homeowners in our city that have planted more trees on their property. I've owned 12 homes in my life. I'm not against trees. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks for your testimony.
So I'm assuming your property is in an environmental zone, and that's why you weren't allowed to cut the tree. Is that correct?
I don't think that's true. That was a couple of years ago now. I have a corner lot, 100 by 100 foot. I have approximately 20 trees on my property. I had a plan to replace the trees with acceptable trees that are on the list for the city of Portland.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Good evening, Mayor and Councilors. My name is Marianne Kasson. I'm here representing the Portland Parks Board. And first of all, thank you for hanging in there with us. The Parks Board message is a simple one. We voted unanimously. We have a letter on the record in support of this plan. That doesn't always happen, that we unanimously come to an agreement. But in this case, we found strong support for the plan. We thought that the number of meetings, the intense amount of discussion that went on during the process led to a good result. We agree that there's a nice simplified result that comes out of all that discussion, and we think a lot of compromises were made, but that's what you have to do to get somewhere. We also thought it was important to mention that the funding that's needed for enforcement is really critical to make it worthwhile. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. So, with no more testimony, it's been mentioned a set of proposed amendments contained in the February 2nd memo from Joe Zender to myself and the City Council. This would reduce the required percentage of trees under the tree preservation standard from 35 to 33%. Exemptions for constrained sites reduces the threshold for exempting lots from 90% building coverage to 80%. Also under the tree preservation standard, mitigation option for small sites for lots 3,000 to 5,000 square feet allows tree planting two trees to mitigate for one removed tree instead of payment in lieu. Under the tree density standard, credit street trees on small sites less than 3,000 square feet, newly planted street trees can be counted to meet on-site tree density. These are the major portions of this, in addition to some technical wordsmithing changes. So I move this.
We're moving this as a package, Mayor.
Is that the whole?
Yeah. I second the motion. Just the
memo. So can I ask Rebecca from BDS, have you seen these? Have not seen them.
Well, according to the cover memo, it says that these address several recent requests from the Bureau of Development Services. So
I don't. They haven't seen them. So.
So my understanding is we're going to adopt these amendments simply for the purpose of discussion, so they can be before the council, but we're not voting on them
right.
Either way. And then we're going to give, my understanding further is we're going to give staff further direction on
yep.
some matters.
My only concern is that there is the communication hasn't been as good as it could be, as parties have demonstrated they can be between the Bureau of Development Services and Planning, and I'm just concerned when I ask that they haven't seen the amendments that we're not making this worse from their perspective.
Well, they certainly don't make them worse.
Are we not? We would be going through each of the amendments at the next hearing to vote yes or no on them, though, right?
Or to amend them or to substitute?
Well, no, not if you're moving the amendments now, you're incorporating that.
No, we're going to. I have.
You just moved them.
I moved it and it was seconded, and that's where we're at in this discussion. And that does not preclude, I would be willing to wager that there will be additional amendments that we will take at the next meeting.
Right, and which is why I'm wondering why we don't just wait, let them look at these in the context of all the amendments, and we do one package, one time, that everybody has worked on together.
Vote on them next time. So mm-hmm. Now that they've been moved and seconded and put on the table.
Well, I thank you all for your assistance in helping me conduct the meeting, but would you respond to what, why would Bureau Development Services not have seen these before?
Our understanding, Mayor and Commissioners, is that those amendments were some of the amendments that came through from the Home Builders Association and Development Community, and that these were going to be introduced by the mayor to for discussion along with all the other amendments and be arrayed with the and they were in the home builders' letter, so there's been a little bit of work of thinking about how that could work. So our understanding was that these amendments and any others from you tonight were being introduced into the record for discussion, and so that we can post them and get public feedback on all of these between now and the next.
Do you expect us?
Meeting.
Okay. So to clarify, do you expect us to act on these amendments tonight so that there's a single document?
Our understanding was that the action would be to agree that they would be forwarded for further evaluation with all the other testimony that was.
Oh, okay. So my misunderstanding.
Tonight.
I thought we were going to be voting on the amendments tonight, but apparently not. Oh, well, then I don't recognize the motion maker or the second.
So, Mayor, you are the mayor, and you chair the meeting, and we'll follow your lead on this. But it has been our practice in the past to. Mm-hmm. to vote on amendments, to put them in the record, not substantively, but just to, there may be another way to do that. I understand Commissioner Leonard's point. So no one's seeking any advantage here. We just, let me ask the question, if we don't adopt these for purposes of just putting them out, is there another way that the public can comment on these between now and the next hearing? And I'm seeing Linda Robinson nod. I'm satisfied with that response.
Well, we can all go home then.
And to be clear, the amendments may be fine. I just would like us to begin trying to reach to some resolution between the two bureaus and come to some consensus. And this is not how we do it.
Point well taken. So I'm putting
Your legal advice being rendered.
Harry, what were you saying?
I was asking.
Tell the whole class.
Thank you, Mayor. Harry Arbat from City Attorney's Office. I was just asking if you had actual language of these amendments or if they were just concepts that
oh, we have
been.
Language.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm putting them into a single document just so that everyone knows what the document is was one option, just having them out there for public comment. Without putting them, collating them into a single document is fine as well. Do you have additional?
I do have some additional ones. I don't have a proposed language, so I'd like to put some concepts, and then I'm going to want some time, maybe a couple of days, to go through and propose some additional amendments that we could then put out for public comment and discuss and vote on next time. The ones that I know of that I'm interested in, I mentioned the one about deleting the paragraphs directing the implementation and funding. I would also like to, I propose deleting the allowance for putting the required outdoor area in the front yard on single front family lots because that's contrary to the purpose of the required outdoor area, which was to give a private space in the back of the home. I have one to allow temporary attachments to street trees as long as they don't damage the trees. One to not delete the significant trees table from the land division code. It's been mentioned several times tonight that if we don't allow trees to continue to grow, they'll never get to 20 inches. We spent a long time in the land division code identifying particularly those very slow-growing native trees that are significant when they're 2-inch caliper. And we had a recent discussion at the University of Portland about how long Oregon oaks take to grow. And so I would hate to have a 6-inch Oregon oak not be considered significant. So I would propose keeping that table and also keeping the discretionary approval criterion. I'd also like to consider keeping the 10-inch caliper in E-zones, going to 12 inches citywide, which I heard several times tonight. And another issue that I'd like to hear public input on is the question of whether you have to replant replant if you take out a nuisance tree. It seems to me that provides a disincentive for taking out nuisance trees, and I would propose that you wouldn't have to replant if you take out a nuisance tree, except if it's in an environmental zone. There are several other, as you would imagine and hope for me, detail amendments, which I'll put in the next couple of days.
So I think it is the sentiment of some members of council that Hannah Kuhn in Commissioner Fish's office would take this input and seek to get a meeting of the minds between the various staffs, specifically, though, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and the Bureau of Development Services, who has to implement them.
If I can just clarify that piece, it is my intention, along with Commissioner Saltzman, when we vote on this proposal, to seek your concurrence to create a work group for the purpose of addressing some of the implementation and sustainable funding issues that people testified to tonight. That is separate and apart from the question of working out the details on the code. And Hannah will go back to retirement if I expand the scope of that project beyond what she's agreed to do. So my understanding is that the questions that we're raising now through the amendments, through what Commissioner Fritz said, through some things that Commissioner Leonard alluded to at the beginning of the hearing, are matters that we'll be asking BPS to confer with other bureaus on and come back to us to see if there's new language at our next hearing date. But once we adopt something, assuming there are the votes to adopt something, then Hannah would lead an interbureau work group to deal with a very narrow question of implementation and sustainable funding.
So to build on that, and I appreciate that discussion because I was trying to clarify in my own mind what the next steps would be from here. That makes that clear for me. So I guess I'm interested in, Mayor Adams, what your expectation is in terms of specifically having the Bureau of Development Services, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, how are they going to take what Commissioner Fritz just said, the concerns that you've heard articulated, and process those to the point that they bring us back a coherent set of amendments that achieves the original goal.
So we consider this again when March, what?
March 9th.
March 9th. So I would expect there to be agreement among the bureaus, between those two bureaus and others, by the time we come back on March 9th. And I would ask that the bureau managers for Planning, Sustainability, and Development Services lead the discussion between those two bureaus and others as needed to sort of bring that together.
So I was a little distracted by the horn. You wanted who again to lead the directors of BDS and
BDS, BPS.
BPS, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I think that makes sense.
I'm going to hold, how about we hold them jointly responsible for making sure that it happens?
That's correct.
How they choose to do it, we'll leave it up to them.
Yeah.
Mayor, may I make a friendly amendment to that?
Yes.
Which is, can we get at council a sense a week before March 9th as to whether there has been consensus reached?
Oh, that's good.
Because if there are some significant divisions, we may want to give the public notice that March 9th will be like an addition, a work session and not a session where we're coming to vote.
Right. Absolutely, that makes sense.
It'll be a hearing because we will have amendments that the public.
It'll be a hearing, but to the extent people will be coming thinking we're going to be voting on the underlying matter, if there isn't consensus, we're going to have a hearing to see if we can get amendments straightened out.
Since I'm the one being held responsible here, there were four of us, BES, BDS, Planning, Sustainability, and Parks, and the four bureau managers, actually we've met, I think, four or maybe five times together. We've really committed to doing this, so I'm sure I can bring them all back together again to do that, if necessary, But at this point, I am absolutely sure that there will be not 100% agreement on all issues. So we're going to come up with something, and if there is anything, so this is my question to you all. My preference is that we come up with a document that if it's 100% great, and if it's not, then if there's any amendments at that point, that the commissioners in charge of those bureaus have an additional amendment right at that point. But between now and March, we take all of the comments that we've had from the testimony here, from your amendments, come up with an agreed-upon document. And if there's any bits and pieces that we still can't agree on, the four of us, then you have that opportunity to bring that as a separate amendment.
Well, I would think, too, that the council is elected to be the policy deciders, so that there may be legitimate conflicts between the missions of the different bureaus, and so that I am not expecting you necessarily to come to complete consensus, but as much as possible, and then to bring to us the clear choices that you would like us to make.
Mayor, could I ask, since the last time we had a situation where BPS presented us with a range of amendments, which included some consensus amendments and then some amendments that bureaus were bringing, we had a cheat sheet that we were given that allowed us that prompted us on the options. I would ask that to the extent there isn't a consensus amendment, we get a cheat sheet that we can follow when we go back to do our markup.
So that's close to what I would like to see happen. You are free, of course, because you report to Sam to manage your half any way you want. I would actually expect Paul not to be the person in the room. Rebecca Esau is the manager in charge of this complexity. If you choose to be the one that meets with Rebecca, that's great. But I think that might be the flaw that has occurred, is that the people that are actually implementing the code have not reached consensus and have been frustrated. So I like your idea. I also understand that there may be some specific areas where there's not agreement. To what would be helpful for me is for those areas where you have agreement to develop amendments, for those areas where you don't disagree, identify what those are and make it clear for us. If that's what was already said, great, but make it clear to us what the issues are.
Sure.
On both sides.
Absolutely.
You know, so
that makes sense.
Rebecca gives her side, we hear your side, and then we make a decision. But we also, and then hopefully we also have the ability then to go through those one at a time and then make amendments or not based on whether we agree as a council or not with one side or the other. And then you also have the amendments developed in the consensus areas that you've agreed to.
But if I, Bureau Director Anderson, and then Commissioner Fritz.
As long as she doesn't hold it against me later.
Not at all.
I'd also like to include in that listing then that some of these issues are issues that have been discussed for 50 hours, and I'd like to include the position of the Forestry Commission and the Planning Commission on any of those issues, just so you have that as background when you're looking at it.
What would help for me is pro-con, because at the end, I appreciate all the service of everybody, but Commissioner Fritz is right. We end up making a decision, and it less is important to me whose idea it is or whose position it is, then what's the concept here?
Okay.
Why should we allow those invasive trees in Ladd's addition, and why shouldn't we?
Sure.
And just that, not that Forestry Commission thinks this and Planning and Sustainability thinks, I just want to know what the pros and cons are so I can make a rational judgment in the final analysis.
Commissioner Fritz.
I can't help but notice that since there's a Commissioner in charge of Development Services, Commissioner in charge of Planning and Sustainability, Commissioner in charge of Environmental Services, and a Commissioner in charge of Parks, whose directors are going to be involved in this, that I would like, I don't think Amalia Alacondamaris, the Director of Neighborhood Involvement, would be the appropriate person, but I would like
Lisa
to have...
Lisa Turley.
Lisa, 911. We're not going there.
That's right.
The number to call is 834,000.
You're free to have staff of your choosing there.
I would like to have a delegate who would be participating in the session.
Yes. Okay, we are agreed.
Mayor, we have solved the 911 issue.
Yes.
We'll be actually posting Commissioner Leonard's home number. So let me see. And asking him to resolve these disputes.
Let me try to summarize. The council expects the bureau manager or their designee to come back to us incorporating or coming back to us with that group having the four bureaus and delegate having considered the testimony today, the concerns expressed today by members of council and others to follow in the next couple of days. Come back to us with where they agree, and hopefully you agree a lot. But those on those issues where you do not agree, you basically summarize for us pros and cons of whatever information you think would be useful for us. Does that make sense?
Good.
Mayor Adams, before we adjourn,
the voice of God.
out of order. Rule her out of order.
Oh, no. This hearing's illegitimate.
You've announced the date of the continued hearing, March 9th. To avoid having to re-notify, can you also announce the time at which the council will hear?
Why, yes, we can.
2:00.
2 p.m. on March 9th.
Good. Thank you.
All right, we're recessed till tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Thank you.
We don't attend to that.
Yeah.